Let us pray. We give you thanks, O God, for this Sunday morning. We give you thanks for Jesus, our teacher and our redeemer. We pray that he would guide us in this life. Help us on this path, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I read today's gospel reading, I was really laughing. Picture this scene through Jesus' eyes. He's invited to the home of a prominent Pharisee. We don't know how Jesus was picked for this mealtime on the Sabbath. But Luke tells us that while he was going there, he was being very, very carefully watched by the Pharisees. Now you remember the Pharisees were this influential religious group within Judaism. They were the legal experts who stressed personal piety, strict obedience to both Mosaic law and oral traditions. And it's been said that in Mediterranean, men really upheld this tradition of men being seated closest to the person who was hosting the meal. Normally, a host would invite peers or people somewhat lower status, because to refuse such an invitation without a good excuse would insult the host's dignity. It's thought that Jesus was invited to this meal after he preached at the synagogue and was hosted by the leading Pharisees. At this dinner, Jesus was given a prominent place, perhaps the VIP place, next to the Pharisee and his family. Luke tells us that Jesus watched other people, as other people normally did, when they were invited to this event. Most people jockeyed for the place closest to the host. Closer to the host was better. It enhanced your status and rank in society. And biblical sources tell us that seating people next according to rank was a very Jewish custom. Four people seating on a cushion, leaning on their left hand, their right hand to eat with their legs stretched out from the table. And the most important people were seated next to the host. In fact, we're told that this practice still takes place among Orthodox Jews and the Arabic traditions. Now, Jesus must have been seated next to this host. He must have been amused, maybe saddened, by the invitees as they tried to get closer to the host, this prominent Pharisee. And this Pharisee must have been a very prominent one, with his status and power and prestige. Now, I think Jesus understood the desire for status in a social setting. He understood human needs for respect by other people. He invited his followers to take the lowest place, then be moved upward, closer to the host. You know, because people were watching Jesus. I wonder how the host and the others reacted to Jesus on that Sabbath. Were they expecting Jesus to break one of the Sabbath laws, as he had done in previous lessons we've heard these past weeks? Were they expecting something different? Were they expecting words of wisdom? Because Jesus gave him those words of wisdom from Proverbs when he said, "Do not stand in the place of the great, for it's better to be told up here than to be put lower in the presence of the nobles." Jesus, the teacher, knew this proverb. He used it in a parable we heard this morning. And part of maintaining status and respect was inviting your peers to this dinner, then also being honored by a reciprocal invitation to another dinner. And Jesus warns his host that the only reward for this practice was human honor. Instead, he says, one should invite those who cannot repay with another invitation. Because he's saying that in God's kingdom, God is the host. All of us are invited, including the poor, the lame, the disabled persons. I would say that in his day, Jesus didn't consider money as a primary factor in inviting people, as perhaps it is in our day. Then the dominant values were prestige and status. And dinners were planned for this according to the status of the guest. Everyone had an established place of social ladder. And this guest list, we're told, was very important. So just think how Jesus must have felt when he was seated next to the Pharisee, this place of honor. Because other religious leaders were invited too. But notice where you sat was important. It revealed your status. In those days, it would be absolutely humiliating to be asked to be moved back down. Those people were very anxious about where they sat. It talked about their status and prestige, where they sat. But this reminds me of a quote from Baron Rothschild. He once was asked about seating people, important guests. His answer was, "Those that matter don't mind where they sit, and those who do mind don't matter." Right? Those that matter don't mind where they sit, and those who do mind don't matter. Because in God's kingdom, we are all part of God's realm. Jesus really wasn't interested in helping his disciples with social status. He wasn't asking them about their prestige or respect. He was really teaching his disciples to be humble, to practice hospitality in their ministry. I think that's what Jesus was saying in this parable and this gospel reading this morning. He was teaching them to be humble and to practice hospitality. I say that because in God's kingdom, all people are recognized, are accepted by God's grace and God's love. I remember this good story about the co-anchor of ABC News, Howard K. Smith. Perhaps maybe you remember him. He was sent to San Francisco in 1984 to cover the political convention for ABC. His family joined him later for a tour of California highlights, and this included a visit to the new amusement park called Disneyland. The kids were very excited at this prospect of wandering through this park with all the rides and various snacks. And as they wandered through the park, they happened upon their hero, Mickey Mouse. Suddenly, the life-size rodent stared in surprise, exclaimed in a squeaky voice, "It's Howard K. Smith!" Smith reported that his younger daughter suddenly looked at him with a new admiration and respect. Her dad had been recognized by Mickey Mouse, and this raised his status considerably in her eyes. Smith says he glowed in his face, this newfound status. But as he reflected on this incident, he realized that it was frivolous to base his standing on the words of a cartoon mouse. After that, he said, status and honor didn't mean much to him. Instead, he said, he focused on living an upright life, no longer caring what others thought of him. Maybe Jesus is saying the same thing to the Pharisee this morning as he looked out. Yes, we like to be recognized, don't we? It's one of the most human desires to be recognized. There's nothing wrong with it. But Jesus understood this human desire. He wanted us to stand in God's kingdom. God recognizes us. It's by God's grace and in God's love. And Jesus calls us today to be humble. He was teaching his followers the need to think of other people's needs and to practice hospitality. But being humble is risky, isn't it? Others may take advantage of us or look down upon us. They miss out on temporary rewards of our society. But Jesus is asking his followers, he did then and now, to find joy in practicing hospitality. He was not recommending that we pretend to be humble, all the while remaining proud undercover. He's really recommending, almost requiring, that we be truly humble, be unassuming. That means we see someone's worth in light of God's grace. It mattered not to God what our status is or economic status is. We're all God's children, worth God. That's because of God's nature, not because of ours. We cannot earn God's grace. It's given. We can reject it. We can neglect it. We can tarnish it. We can trash it. We cannot really lose it. Because God treasures his creation. God's love is shown in Jesus Christ, who humbled himself on the death of the cross. It was he who died for us. we are accepted by God's grace. I suppose most of us know what hospitality feels like. I'm sure we've seen it and received it openly or freely or warmly without any need to prove ourselves. Jesus makes hospitality one of those virtues, I think, because our host assumes we are worthy. God is our host, and he makes us worthy. It's this kind of hospitality that we received in our baptism. We experienced it in God's grace. And that's what we hear today, isn't it? God's grace that accepts us, that asks us to be humble, that we go and do likewise. So this weekend, may the peace of God pass all understanding, keep our hearts and minds, in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.